out. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff Vedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss this week's divisional tilt against the Los Angeles Chargers, a game Joe will be attending. But Joe, first, I was in Las Vegas over the weekend doing a story. It was part of a media junket for previewing the Super Bowl, which is going to be there. There was a kind of rooftop bar at the Resort World Casino and Hotel, and they had like a little like kind of couple chairs, a little set aside like they do in those Vegas bars for us. But we got bumped to a different section, Joe, because Katy Perry and Jeff Bezos were there, and understandably they took our seat. So we still had a little private area, but I did like every time it was like the rooftop bar, and they had like an outdoor area, so I'd kind of check out what the skyline looked like. But as I went there, they were indeed there. I would kind of peer over real quick to check them out. So that's my cool story from the weekend.
Nice. And if you hadn't left, Jeff Bezos would have just snapped his fingers and said to his assistant, "Hey, we're buying this whole hotel casino. Okay, so right? Everybody getting
like." And it was not. He totally would do that. And it was not just them. It was like, you know, it's not like they were on a date or anything. That would have been the truly juicy news. It was they were hanging out. There were like, you know, like six other people with them. But I'm like, what in the world do Katy Perry and Jeff Bezos have in common? What are they talking about? What do they have in common besides being very, very wealthy? I did not get close enough to eavesdrop on that part.
Well, you said I'm going to the game, you know, this week, and I am going to be heading out to Kansas City for the Chargers game. It's alumni weekend, right? Dante Hall was going into the Chiefs Ring of Fame, Ring of Honor. So excited to see that. Much deserved, well deserved. But I'm hoping, you know, since we're going to be on the club level, you know, at the Dante Hall reception, you know, for him going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame, maybe Taylor Swift might show up. You had a Katy Perry, Jeff Bezos sighting. Maybe I have a, Taylor Swift sighting.
That would trump it. Is she from, like, I know she's an Eagles fan. Is she from, like, the Philadelphia?
She's from Pennsylvania. Yeah, she's from a little town called Wyomissing, which is not far outside of Philadelphia. She is an Eagles fan, and she is a self-proclaimed. She wears Eagles gear and stuff, and she sings songs about the Eagles and things like that. So, yeah, so I saw a T-shirt the other day that was an Eagles green shirt, and it said Taylor's boyfriend's brother on it. And it was like it was a Kelsey shirt, but Jason Kelsey. So
that's great.
Everybody's great. Playing on the Taylor Swift Travis thing,
including our podcast, clearly. Well, yeah. Now that we've got our celeb news out of the way, Joe. Big game on the docket Sunday, Chargers Chiefs. You know, typically it's a tight game. The Chargers often are ahead late, but then combo of the Chargers snatching defeat from the jaws of victory and Patrick Mahomes' just general clutchness leads to a KC victory. Joe, same script this go around?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I heard a crazy statistic that, you know, Justin Herbert, you know, throws more interceptions on touchdown winning drives or non-winning drives, I should say, than any other quarterback in recent history. So he's holding some kind of record at this point. That's definitely, you know, not going to play well for the Chargers if they're trying to, you know, win a game, especially against this vaunted Chiefs defense, which I think is moving into top five territory plus, right? Mm-hmm. They're at least, and the margin of error between a top one and top five defense is going to be small anyway. So, you know, you could say they're the best defense or not, you know, top, but they're definitely a top five defense. And I think that's complementing this team really well, especially since they're having some struggles in short yardage and in the red zone on offense.
Joe, that's a good, let's properly attribute this stat. I think, was it Stephen St. John? Was he the one on your morning spot on A10 Radio who came up with that stat?
Yeah.
Was that,
I can't remember if it was Nate or Steven,
who came up with
on 810.
The Border Patrol. We're accurate here. We want to give credit to who deserves this.
That's, yeah, if that's you, the professional media mogul that you are, editor and magazine writer and author, and you know, that's not me. I'm just like spouting stats out like they're mine, right? I googled it, you know, whatever. But yeah, I make sure we give those guys the proper credit. But yeah, it's an interesting stat. I mean, you know, he did it again this past week in their loss, and you know, it was another game that, you know, maybe the Chargers, you know, should have won. Now the Cowboys have great defense. They put a lot of pressure on him in that game. And, you know, there's something to be said for at the end of the game for the pressure that he did have on him when he did throw that pick. I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, just standing back there all alone in the pocket, but nonetheless, you know, if the Chiefs do the same thing with this defensive front that they have, you know, he's going to have problems all day, you know, with this, you know, with this team and the chip on the shoulder that the Chiefs are playing with right now.
And the stats don't lie. And the one thing I'll say about Herbert, he also missed some throws against the Cowboys. He did not play well, albeit against a good defense. But I think it's not as much a Herbert thing. I mean, again, the stats are there. There's just it's like a Chargers culture from the top down. It like even predates Herbert. Like Philip Rivers had the same thing. They always seem to like find ways to just lose a game they should win, even when they have a lot of talent. So I'm kind of reluctant to pin it all on Herbert. I think right now the biggest issue with the Chargers, I think there's some major coaching issues. I don't think Brandon Staley is a very good coach. He was brought in as he was the defensive coordinator on the Rams. So defense is his thing. And that's really where their struggles have been. Up until this week, they were ranked as one of the worst defenses in the league. But that's a great point on Herbert. I think Herbert right now is kind of the least of their problems, despite those issues late in games.
Well, but also, you know, to add to the conversation about that statistic, you know, it does tell you something. And to me, what it tells me is he puts a lot of the pressure of the team and the city on himself. And he's trying to win games, right? That's when you're throwing picks on game-winning or attempted game-winning drives, it means you're trying to win it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he's a selfish player, but he just must feel that extra added pressure of trying to carry this team on his shoulders with, you know, having one of the worst defenses in the league and having a history of, you know, I love that term used, Jeff, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, that's tough for a quarterback because you feel like at that point you want to win the game. Like you want to take it. And I think that's something we used to worry about with Patrick, right? When their defense had its struggles, the Chiefs, we always used to worry that Patrick was going to be one of those quarterbacks that tried to just take the whole team, you know, on his shoulders. And he's done a great job of acting more Joe Montana-like, you know, where you put your trust in the other players and you just be you and you try to win the game and do all your things right that you can do right. And you don't kind of add that extra pressure on yourself. And that can be really tough on a young quarterback.
Great point. And Joe, I think what you said about trying to do too much, you know, I think they have a new offensive coordinator this year, Kellen Moore, who's with the Cowboys. And I think what they were trying to do is they thought that there was too much on Herbert, that, you know, and so they're going to try and add more balance to the offense, run the ball more. But Austin Eckler had his first game back, so the running game hasn't been there. He'll be back for the Chiefs game as he played against the Cowboys. And Mike Williams is hurt. They wanted to give more targets to make things easier on Herbert, so they drafted Quentin Johnson in the first round, and he has really not been a factor. So still a lot on Herbert, and more on this matchup, but first it's a Texas showdown in the postseason, and Bet Online is your number one source for all your baseball wagering info with up to the minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals for the NFL and college at your fingertips with Bet Online's real time updates on statistics, news, and odds. We have everything you need to stay up to speed on each league championship series all the way to the World Series. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Joe, I feel our promo should have maybe highlighted the Phillies instead of the ALCS. You know that you were at the last series.
I was at the last game against the Braves that Thursday night when they clinched it or won it, and you know, sent them the game that sent them to the National League championship series. So yeah, it was really exciting. My God, it was so loud. The fans never stopped cheering. It's almost like they felt like the Phillies were going to win that game. And then they come out last night and, you know, just start up the blast that they were hitting in those first couple of innings. You know, that first ball, the first pitch Phillies of the game, you know, Schwarber hits a bomb, and their bats have really come alive, and their pitching kind of came through in the end. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun, you know, watching the Phillies and seeing what's happening. But you know, super, like you said earlier, super excited to get out to Kansas City to see this game and get the live action again, and you know, I have to watch it on television and see this team in action and really get to feel the energy of Arrowhead, which is, you know, a place literally like no other. So yeah, so it's, you know, and this Chargers team, you know, I want to put them in that sort of like Vikings area. They're, you know, the games that they've played, the talent that they have, you know, the types of losses that they've had. The Chargers, you look at their record, Jeff, they're kind of the same way. I mean, they gave the Dolphins everything they could, right? That first week, and we know how good the Dolphins are right now. You know, they only had a 3-point loss to the Titans. They beat the Vikings by 4. They beat the Raiders by a touchdown.
And that Cowboys team they lost to, you know, 2017, that the Cowboys are, you know, the Cowboys are as talented as there is. That's certainly not a bad loss there.
No. So they're, you know, this is a good 2-3 team, right? And, you know, weird bye week, right? Having a bye week 5, they had to be frustrated when that happened. You kind of want to have that bye at least a little closer to the middle of the season so you can rest some guys. You know, having that bye early probably threw them off a little bit, but, you know, this is going to be a good game because they always play the Chiefs well. It doesn't matter, you know, the AFC West, you know, it doesn't matter what records are. Look at the Chiefs Broncos last week, right? I mean, we know what a dumpster fire right now the Broncos are. And, you know, they were in that game to a certain degree, right? And, and the AFC West is, there's still something in there. There's still an underlying factor of the tightness of that division. Not like you and I promoted 2 years ago when we thought that the AFC West was going to, like, you know, every team in the AFC season. West was going to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and especially Chiefs Chargers always seems to be tight. You made a good point that the Chargers are 2-3. This is the one thing that gives me pause. I still think the Chiefs win. I think it follows the script of the previous matchups. I think the Chargers might even take a lead at some point, but I think the Chiefs pulled out in a tight game at the end. The one thing that gives me pause is I often think that NFL games come down to who needs it most, who is most backed in the corner. I think Cowboys Chargers was a really good game, and I really thought, like, the Cowboys, after just getting embarrassed by the 49ers, they were going to come out with a strong performance. I mean, the Chargers, their backs are against the wall. If they're 2-3 right now, they lose to the Chiefs, are 2-4. I mean, you got to think that you're almost out of the playoff race there. I mean, a lot of season to be played, but 2-4 is, you've dug yourself quite a hole. That's the one thing that this is a must-win game for the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff, but I might have to point counterpoint you on the fact that I think, believe it or not, at 5-1, which you're like, wait, how are the Chiefs back against the wall? I think the Chiefs' backs are a little bit up against the wall, at least offensively. Mm-hmm. At least offensively, that if this team doesn't come out and have a decent offensive experience this Sunday, that, you know, you might start to see some chip away at their confidence and sort of their ability to overcome some of the obstacles that are going to happen throughout the season, especially as the race starts getting tight and they start, you know, got a really, really meaty part of their schedule coming up. So, you know, I'm not going to say that their backs are against the wall like a, you know, like a caged animal at that point, the way that it might be for the Chargers, but I will kind of say that I think the Chiefs also have a lot to lose if they don't win this game. And you're like, well, what's, you know, big difference between 2-4 and 5-2. Uh-huh. Yeah, I get it. But I don't know, from a confidence perspective and just an overall like momentum that they need going into this, like I said, that this meaty part of the season, I think they need this really just as badly as the Chargers do.
That's interesting perspective there, Joe. You know, speaking of the Chiefs at 5-1, and there's been so much talk about the Chiefs offense being out of sync, but right now with the Niners and Eagles losing last weekend, so they're tied for the best record at 5-1. And you look at their only loss came to another 5-1 team, the Lions, who obviously are pretty good. And that game was without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. You kidding me? Like, all of a sudden you look at that resume and you're like, geez, God, I think the Chiefs are favorites again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and what a surprise, you know, just not to make this about the Lions. This isn't Believe in Lions, but, you know, their only loss was an overtime loss. Yeah, like,
right.
This things are heating up for the Lions, but that's just an aside. But no, you're right, Jeff. I mean, this team's, you know, this Chiefs team is for real. Like, let's not forget how good they really are and how good they really are.
When we're looking at all these, we spend a lot of the pod obviously talking about, you know, whether it's the offensive line penalties or the wide receiver unit trying to still get in sync. But yeah, they have the best record in football. They barely lost a game to another great team without, you know, their best, I guess, weapon, you know, best receiving target, and without their best defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, the game that gives me the most pause is last week, right? Which you never wanted to be your last game, because, you know, the win against the Broncos, almost said loss, right? 40 and slip, but, you know, they did what they needed to against the Bears. Like, that was, if that game would have been close, you know, you think, ooh, what's going on with this team? But you're right. I mean, the Jaguars, playoff team, been playing very well. The Vikings, you know, they are a heck of a squad. They got a lot of talent, and you'd never think that with a team, you know, that's really, you know, has a bad record. But I think this Chiefs team just needs to get their confidence going on offense. They just need to find out who they are. They got to define themselves in the red zone. You know, that field gets really short, Jeff. You know, the closer you get to the end zone, it sounds easy, like you're getting close to the end zone. So it's almost like you're like, well, of course, if you're close to something, it's going to be easier to get in. But, you know, with the athletic ability and the types of defensive coordinators that are these masterminds in the NFL, like, that field actually, as it gets shorter, it gets harder. It's easy to play with between the 20s, right? You got the whole field. You got all 50 plus yards, you know, sideline to sideline. You got the whole, you know, field in front of you. If you're in the midfield, you know, you can run deep routes. You can go for broke and take a shot at the end zone from, you know, the 20, 30, 40 yard line. But you start getting close, man, the field gets really short and your playbook gets smaller. And that's what I think the Chiefs need to do. They just need to figure out some methodology around being better in the red zone.
Joe, we're going to take a quick break. Joe, you know, the guy I'm actually, the matchup or the player to watch for me is kind of an under-the-radar guy who's had a really good year, and he's actually had a contract year for the Chiefs, Mike Dana. I'm curious to see if I think he's earning himself a lot of money. He already has 3.5 sacks, you know, like, which would be on pace to really shatter his, you know, his career. He only has 13.5 in his career. His whole career, he's played, I think this is his fourth year. But he's been really good against the Chargers. He has 4 sacks against them And he had, that doesn't include, he had the big play. He had the big hit on Justin Herbert, which injured his ribs last year. So actually that's kind of the guy I'm watching, and under the radar guy that I think listeners, you might want to also watch out for him. Joe, what's your matchup to watch, or maybe a player to watch in this game?
Well, I'm going to go with a Captain Obvious statement here, and maybe keep your eye on Charles Omenihu. You know,
yeah, if, good one. Good one.
If Spagnuolo can, you know, get him into the rotation, I'm sure he's in great shape. He's probably been working out for the last 6 weeks during his suspension. He's probably been doing field drills and, you know, doing all this stuff to get himself ready for the game. And they're probably not going to, you know, it's not like he's going to be playing 60, 70 plays. So he's probably not going to be winded. They're going to work him back in, but I'm anxious to see what that looks like and what the chemistry will look like with him coming in six games. And, you know, I know we won't get a full look at him because he's probably going to be used relatively sparingly, but you know, this might be a game where, you know, the Chiefs might pull out all the stops and show every player as much as they can. So who knows? But regardless of how many snaps he gets, I'm anxious to see, you know, what he can do against this team. It could be a decent confidence builder. I'm not saying that the Cowboys, like, destroyed their offensive line. But, you know, they were giving Justin Herbert fits. And yeah, they were in his face.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. So, you know, if that's a telltale sign of an offensive line that's been struggling, because I know the Chiefs defensive line is just as good, not better, than the Cowboys defensive line, even though the Cowboys have a pretty strong D line. You know, if they take the same tact and do it, you know, it could be a good test to see, you know, for Charles Omenihu to see if his confidence gets back after being out for, you know, better part of the first part of the season. So that's my, you know, long answer to a short question, but that's who I'm going to be watching. Of course, with all the other usual suspects, you know, everybody wants to see, you know, what Patrick can do and how he can use this receiving core to the best of their ability. He's still spreading the ball around. You look at the receiving, you know, the receiving stats, and you look at the targets per player, and you look at the number of receivers that have catches, and it's pretty astounding, actually, when you look at the true spread of what he's doing with the wide receivers. There's really not anybody who's, short of Justin Watson being, you know, for a while being their leading receiver per catch and their leading receiver per yards, but he's got a little bit of a banged up elbow, so we'll see how much he gets used.
Joe, you mentioned Omenihu on the Chiefs defensive line. Also worth noting about the Chargers defensive line, the guy you usually kind of circle on their defense is Joey Bosa, but he's been limited. He played against the Cowboys, but it was out, you know, kind of in and out, not making a much of an impact because he's been bothered by nagging injuries. And the guy who actually has been bothered by nagging injuries the last couple years, Khalil Mack, might be the guy to watch. He's had a really good year. He had six sacks in the game, almost approached Derek Thomas's seven sack record. So kind of interesting to look out for Mack, maybe more so than Bosa. Joe, give us your prediction for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs are, you know, I've been going really high scoring for the Chiefs. I've been pretty close on all of my defensive scores, and I've been a little bit overestimating on the Chiefs just a tad in the games where I thought they were. I've been very close in games that where they played good teams. So I'm thinking this game is going to be, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to get their sea legs back on offense. I think the defense is going to continue to hold. I'm saying 27-10 Kansas City.
I'm going about the same points for Kansas City, but I'm going a little closer. I'm going like 28-24. I think it's going to be 24-21 Chargers. I think they're going to be showing flashes. And then just like a typical Chargers Chiefs game, I think Mahomes leads them down probably with a Travis Kelce touchdown to win it. It'll be like 24-21 Chargers, and then that just like usual, just like the usual script. Joe, tell us about what's kind of the weekend itinerary for this Alumni Chiefs Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, you know, the Hunt family and the Chiefs organization does such a great job. You know, they prior to the game, you know, they get in touch with the players, you know, and they do such a great job of making it, you know, welcoming and easy to get registered and get there and make sure that they give you an idea of what's going to be happening. They send you a great, if you're going to be in attendance, they send you a great jacket to wear for while you're at the game, which is really cool.
Nice. Oh, that is cool.
Something fall to wear, which is really cool.
Is it like a special like Chiefs alumni jacket, or is it just like Chiefs? All right, I want to see you sporting this.
I'll have to show you. And this year they put a football patch on it for Norma Hunt.
Oh, nice.
And they put her initials on it. And Clark sent a note along with the jacket. You know, it's a nice fall, you know, lightweight October, great for October. It's black with the Chiefs, you know, legends community on it, and a nice patch in honor of Norma, Mrs. Hunt, which is fantastic. And Clark wrote a really nice note to the players who were coming and why that patch was there and how much we all adored Mrs. Hunt. So, yeah, so that's really cool. So they start off with that. And then, you know, they've got, you know, block rooms of hotels set up downtown. And then they've got shuttles to get players to and from, you know, events. And, you know, the big thing is going to be, you know, the Dante Hall reception that they have at the club level, and they have the big area roped off. And they do allow fans who are there walking by on the club level can watch and listen to the speeches. And, you know, they'll do a typical Hall of Fame, you know, type induction speech. And then obviously they do the stuff at halftime with Dante out on the field. But when they unveil the Ring of Fame name, and so they just do it right, and they have a, you know, it's just one of those, one more of those things that the Hunt family does to do it. Will Shields is hosting an event at Top Golf for players to come by, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. Great to catch up. I know I'm going to see Grunny. We already talked about it when we were talking when he was with us on the pod. So yeah, it should be really fun. Great way to get the players all together who are, you know, especially not all the, you know, the ambassadors that live there, right, that live in Kansas City. But for the out-of-towners, they really make it special.
That's really cool. Joe, I know you were talking with Grunny about, you know, you guys, how you're going to see each other this weekend. Have you been chatting with any of the other kind of friends or former teammates about this weekend and meeting up?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, Danen, I always talk to Danen about it, but he can stop by, but he's doing work. The game.
Yeah.
But he's working, you know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, Louis Aguiar, of course, my old punter bud, you know, that I got the snap to. So Louis will be there. So we always catch up. And, you know, we had a great friendship with Louis, such a great guy, and got to know his family. So those are a couple guys that, you know, we've reached out to. And then, and the nice thing about it is it's kind of like a potluck surprise, like who's going to be there. So when you get there, you're like, wow, okay. And, you know, last year, I mean, Marcus was there, and Neil Smith, and got to see, you know, Keith Cash, and, you know, some of those old players, at least that I knew. And, it's really fun is getting to meet some of the players that are Chiefs alums that I would never get an opportunity to meet, like Dontari Poe. You know, I got to meet him, which was great. And Will, of course, Shields. I've been texting with Will about, you know, catching up with him and seeing how the family's doing. So tons of fun. It's just one more thing, again, not to beat it up too much, but it's just one of those things that the Hunt family and the Chiefs organization, they just adore being the Chiefs organization and bringing people back. And it's a really special time.
That's very cool, Joe. And you're bringing the family, right? You're bringing the
yeah, my daughters, my daughters, wife. Wow. Yeah. We're bringing my daughter's boyfriend, which is nice. Big step there, coming back with us to Arrowhead. We'll get to meet all my old teammates, which is great. So, we've got a lot of fun stuff planned, a lot of barbecue on the docket. And we're gonna take the girls back, show them some of the places we lived, and some of the areas where take them to the school where Jen taught in the Blue Valley School District, and take them by the elementary school where she spent her time teaching when she was living in Kansas City. So yeah, we're super excited about bringing the family back and showing them some of our old haunts. And of course it's Halloween, and you can't you can't ignore the fact that they're going to have all that those awesome haunted houses. So my daughters are kind of like, I hear it's like the haunted house capital of the world. So I think we're probably going to have to hit the haunted houses as well.
Very cool. Sounds like a fun weekend, Joe. I can't wait to hear the breakdown. You're bringing a lot of people. I really think that the Chiefs should be, you know, footing the bill for this entire Valerio clan and boyfriend to.
Yeah, we're, you know, hopefully we add to the decibel level, right? maybe we'll break a decibel level record with all the folks we're bringing.
It's certainly going to be stimulating that economy in Kansas City. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!